to come and pray with us on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. You can either get onto Zoom and be with us, or you can just call the number and be with us just on the phone. But it's a great, great blessing just to be able to pray for everybody. So encourage you to do that. We have our shoe boxes. Oh, we have the Chosen, too. We're going to have our Simple Potluck and see episode 7 and 8 on the 14th of November. So that's fun. Shoeboxes, it is so, we're going to start them. I will get the shoeboxes out. I just encourage you to take at least one or two. If we do that, I just told them we're small in number, but we'll do what we can do. So, but it is such a blessing for our, to be able to give, and it's spreading the word to all of the, it's fun to see all the different places that they send them, and I'm sure a lot of them are even going to be in the United States because we've had so much destruction and stuff this year. So they send them all over. Great organization. I'm very fond of it, so I don't want to give it up. So we'll do what we can do. All right. Pardon? Okay, 10 minutes after church. We're going to just have a little discussion for a couple minutes. So if we can just stay after the sermon for a few minutes, it would be great. Great. All right. So, oh, the food pantry. I don't have it where I'm looking. On Wednesdays after Gleaners, they're having the food pantry. If you know of anybody that needs help with food there, this, now that they have changed, they're getting a lot of meat and stuff, which is really important for people. So I'm encouraging you to come. And also, starting on the first Sunday of the month, we are going to have, on Sunday after church, they're opening the food pantry for. So if anybody needs help, you can encourage them. They can come to church, and then after church, they can get fed. So it's a double blessing. And then Sherry will meet somebody if they have an emergency or something. They can call Sherry, and she can arrange to come and help them get food if need be. We also are going to try and feed 5 families for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they already have 5 hams, and they're hoping to get 5 turkeys for Thanksgiving. And I wish Sherry was here to tell all of it. But anyway, if you know, she has 2 families already, but if you know somebody in need that would need a dinner for Thanksgiving, be sure and either call Sherry, or you can call me and I'll give you the number. We can get connected so we can help anybody that's in need. So, okay, I think that is it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the storms. I know we're getting a lot of rain, but Father God, it's a blessing for our land, and we like rain more than fires, so we thank you for that. We also lift those that aren't here today. Some of them, it's hard to get out in the stormy weather, or they're ill. Some of them are just because of COVID, they're staying home, but whatever it is, I just lift them up to you right now. We miss them, and we're just praying for them to be able to come back soon. We thank you for today. We open our hearts to what Teresa is going to share, and we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to stand and go to our call to worship, and as Psalms 23, verse 6, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, what a wonderful piece. Thank you, Lord. All right. We're going to sing Joy Unspeakable.
I have found His praises all complete. He supplies every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the half has never yet been told. I have found that hope good, bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see his smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. All the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its ways of glory roll. It is like a cradle flowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Of truth thou hast for me, place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently thy will to see, open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine, open my ears that I may voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my ears, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me, Spirit divine.
Good morning, church. God bless you. Let's say our prayer for our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Father, Lord, thank you so much for the blessings you continue to bestow. Lord, help us remember to look beyond worthless money and always toward the golden streets of eternity. Let us use this tool you have given us for this congregation, for your church, and our lives wisely. And Lord, help us, at least I can speak for me as a parent, to always learn how to model it more wisely for my children. Amen. Now it's time for us as a body to come together and pray. And I did something I hadn't done before in church. I brought up the live feed and asked anybody out there if they had a prayer request they wanted to share with us. I thought that was a smart thing maybe. And Susie says, sorry, not there again. His back is messed up from physical therapy. Did I miss something? I thought it was supposed to make me feel better. I will so miss you all. Be safe driving home, as I think it's starting to get really nasty out there. Love you all. So prayer for Susie and her back to feel better. All right? And, of course, prayer for Ted, who's not with us today and still very much struggling with his health. I'm not sure I have words to say anymore. God, we need you to show up in Ted's life in a big way. Please, Lord. We have a praise in our family. Her name is Rosie. She's 7 weeks old. You may have seen pictures on the internet already. Who knows? But Sarah is with Claire, and Claire is technically her mommy. So mommies have duties with babies. So Claire is watching her, making sure that we don't have to steam clean the entire front room. Yeah. Anybody else have a praise or a prayer request they would like to share with the body today? Teresa? And the sepsis is gone. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So continued prayer for Teresa's mom that she can make it all the way back home. They did find a care facility for her to be to transfer between hospital and home. And her sepsis is better. She's on the mend. You do see the fan. You love spinning objects and fans. I don't know if y'all know, but he's on the spectrum. And sometimes there are sensory things that just he can enjoy better than the rest of us. Fans are one of them. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably not his greatest fan. That's me. But you still see it? Yeah. Any other prayer requests or... praise. Josh. Praise God, Josh. You've been meeting a need. Praise God. Josh, way to walk through an open door, brother. Yeah. Way to walk right through without fear. Carolyn. Good. Amen. We all need friends. Oh my gosh, do we need friends? And COVID has estranged us too much. Okay. Landon has a praise. He likes moving fans. Moving fans. I want to lift up another prayer request, and then we'll get. Was there another one on the? Oh, I see that, Debbie. Our next door neighbors, right across the driveway, their daughter, her name is Loveland, has tested positive for COVID, and so they are quarantining, which, you know, I like to meet in the middle and talk all the time. But anyway, so they're quarantining, and so prayer for them. Her fever's broken; she's doing better, and they're. Her little brother is not vaxxed because he can't be yet, but they are. So they've been vaccinated precautionarily too. And of course, he worked for the Postal Service, so he had a mandate. our neighbor. Yep, their family, the family name is Kiefers, the Kiefers. Teresa. Oh, your mother is 81 years young as of yesterday. Absolutely. Everybody, we need, here's one on the live feed from Ted. He says, I ask for forgiveness. So whether that's to us or whether that is to God Almighty or both, I stand with my brother knowing that I also am a person who have had to ask for forgiveness. And so I stand with Ted right now, supporting him in that request. Anybody else? There's a praise on the screen. Yay! A new projector ordered. Yes. To keep you cool. You're already cool enough, but they're going to keep you cool. Ted replied, all above. So everyone, do we forgive Ted? We forgive you, Ted. We love you. We want you back. We miss you. And your soul is more important than anything you've ever said, brother. We love you. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. It's a praise to see Tom. It's a praise to see Lori today. Yep. Linda, how is your health? That is huge. You have a smile on your face and not a grimace, and that makes a big difference when I look at you today. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? Let us go before our Lord. Father God, we come with penitent hearts before you. Asking you to intervene in so much in our lives. Lord, I just, our governmental structure needs support, needs direction. They need guidance. And we need your divine hand to intervene and give our nation back focus and purpose. Lord, give that to each and every one of us here right now, that coming together and meeting as you have commanded in Scripture, whether here in person or online virtually, for edifying each other, Lord, that we would remember to do that and be present and be in fellowship and be of good cheer and be encouraged by the presence of your Holy Spirit binding us together here now. Lord, together we ask for continued healing for Linda. Lord, for intense, immediate return to healing for Ted. Lord, not only in his heart of forgiveness, asking for forgiveness right now, in a remorseful heart, Lord, but in healing of that and stepping in and being God to him. More than anything right now, Lord, get any hindrance of his heart out of the way so the Holy Spirit can fully come in and change his heart, change his mindset, and restore not just his heart and mind, but body once again to health. Lord, we will just continue to pray and pray and pray for him. Because our human wisdom has failed. Lord, we lift up many other needs that have been expressed here, Lord, and I lift up one more praise, Lord, of having some amazing text messages this week with Josh Dyke, as he finds out he's going to be a dad in this process of becoming sober and recovering. Lord, my heart is so encouraged for a former youth kid. I praise you, Lord, for that moment this week, for your kingdom. Lord, we lift up Susie and her back. Lord, and we lift up so many needs and praises. And we praise you and thank you for friends and fellowship. And we thank you and praise you for this place of worship we can come to. And we call out to all our brothers and sisters who can hear us out there. Come, join us. Let us be as one body. Let us love, care, support one another. And Lord, now we lift up our leaders again. Lord, we will always pray for them as you have commanded. Lord, we lift up the hearts of our leaders, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and get a hold of them to do what is right for this great nation. Give them wisdom, give them direction, and lead them into prosperity for your name's sake. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen.
I was sharing earlier that I like to walk around, so I have a new toy, and it should be working momentarily. Do I just keep this one? Okay. Okay, he's going to come down and grab this one. It's hard to have two microphones because then it makes feedback, yeah. Then they start screaming at each other. So we don't want this one to start screaming. Thank you. And praise the Lord for another day. You know, no matter what has happened throughout the week, throughout the month, He's blessed us all with one more day, Sister Carolyn. One more day. So praise His name for that. Praise His name. So there's a gospel song written by Mr. Franklin Williams. And it was originally sung by the Mississippi Mass Choir. And I know like a whole lot of other people have been singing it since then. It's called Your Grace and Mercy. And so I'd like to share the lyrics with you, because Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Thank you for saving a sinner like me, to tell the world salvation is free. There were times when I just didn't do right, but you watched over me all day and night. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through. Justice demanded that I should die. But grace and mercy said, "We've already paid the price. I once was blind, but thank God I can see. It was because grace and mercy came along and rescued me. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through." Amen. And it's a beautiful song. Beautiful song. And as the song so eloquently states, we rely on God's grace and mercy. Without it, we wouldn't be living the lives that we have. And most of the time in the Christian community, you're going to hear those two words together. It's like peanut butter and jelly, right? Grace and mercy. They're not to be separated. And while they do belong together, we're going to study them separately, okay? So we can better understand who God is. So as we continue to study on this journey of rediscovering who God is, his attributes, we're going to focus on today mercy, because he is a merciful God. And our scripture reading is found in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. And I'll be sharing from the New Living Translation. Listen to the word of God. And thank you. Please. Here's the word of God. Ephesians 2. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And then he says, "It is only by God's grace that you have been saved." Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Now, even the Apostle Paul puts the two characteristics of God together, right? He opens his statement with a description of God's mercy, and then he ends his argument with God's grace. So let's look at what is mercy. Okay, next week we'll talk about God's grace. This week we're going to focus on mercy. What is this thing? What is this thing about mercy? So, of course, you know me by now. I like to go into the dictionary and dig out words. So Merriam-Webster defines mercy as this. Number one, kind or forgiving treatment of someone who could be treated harshly. So the example is this. He is a vicious criminal who deserves no mercy. He's so bad, he doesn't deserve anything that's good. The other example, she fell to her knees and asked, she begged, she pleaded for mercy. Because she knew she had done wrong, so she's asking for mercy. I don't deserve good treatment, but I'm asking for it. The second definition says this, kindness or help given to people who are in a very bad or desperate situation, such as an act of mercy. And then the example that gives, they came on a mission of mercy to provide food and medical care for starving children. So it's kindness or help given to people in a bad or desperate situation. It's also, I was reading an article, and another pastor was saying, it's like, this person deserves to be slapped in the face for what they said or did, but you don't. You don't slap them. Instead, you offer them mercy. So just think about that in your head. Yeah, there's been times in my life when people have upset me because they've done some really shady things, But God's love in my heart helped me to have mercy on them instead. And then flip the script, because there's those days where you know, Sister Donna, you weren't your best. And you were relying on someone else's mercy, because you didn't deserve the goodness that they gave you. So that's what mercy is about. Treating someone better than what they deserve. And if we go back to the song lyrics, we see evidence of the songwriter's sentiment. So look at, and I'll just call them out to you. He says, "Thank you for saving a sinner like me." And it goes with the scripture that we read. Sinners doing lots of bad things, but God still chose to save us anyhow. And then the writer says, "Times when I just didn't do right. I know I'm acting out, and I'm proud to be acting out. And guess what? God still watched over you day and night, even though you were shown up acting out." And then the writer says, "Justice demanded that I should die." Being a just God, that's another quality or characteristic of God. He's also a just God. So rightfully, he should hand out, he should, what we say in English, throw the book at him, that law book, right? Knock you upside your head because you were wrong. But he doesn't do that. Grace and mercy said, "We've already paid the price." That's mercy. That is mercy. So praise God for his mercy. The lyrics align with Paul's teaching. While we were living our lives selfishly, God reached out and he saved us. We deserve to pay the penalty of sin, which is death, which is eternal separation from God. But God gave us life instead. Somebody say amen. He gave us life instead. So there's two things I want us to walk away from today when we look at mercy. One is this: God's mercy is unlimited and it is patient. Unlimited and patient. And there's a big reason why we have to talk about those two things. And then the second thing is this: God's mercy is the epitome of the gospel. You can't have the gospel without God's mercy. So there are many examples in scripture that attest to God's mercy. It's the core of who he is. And just as we talked about last week, God's mercy enhances his other attributes, similar to what we talked about with love. If we didn't have God's mercy, his other attributes would just be standing all alone, and he could just do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, because he can. But because he has mercy, he doesn't. This is why mercy is so important for us to understand about God. And because of his mercy, it just gives a different flavor to his other attributes and his personality of who he is. It enhances the other attributes. God's mercy is the root of our salvation, and we can't have salvation without God extending his mercy. It's his mercy that gives us a break instead of punishing us. Does that make sense? So let's look at the never-ending patient mercy of God. Because remember, I want you to take away, it's endless, it's limitless. It goes on and on and on. It never runs out. And his mercy is patient. So here's a few scriptures that attest to that. Lamentations 3. If you go to Lamentations chapter 3, Verse 22 says this: the faithful love of the Lord never ends. And then he says, his mercies never cease. What does that mean when it says never? It forever and ever and ever and ever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. It's 2021. Guess what? When we get to the new year of 2022, his mercy is still going to be in that new year. It will not end. There is no end to it. Micah 6:8. I like really a lot the book of Micah. I think people don't pay attention to it because it's a short one. He's a minor prophet. But powerful. You still have to listen to what Micah has to say. Micah 6, verse 8, teaches us how we should follow God's example of mercy. And so Micah says, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. Because remember, we're still religious. We get caught up in the do's and the don'ts, and we make up rules on our own selves. And God's like, look, people, no, stop all of that other stuff. Simply do this, Micah says. This is what the Lord requires of us: to do what is right, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. It's not a litany of you got to get married, you got to have so many kids, you got to own this house, and you got to go to college and do this. No. No, no, no. Simply follow God. Do that which is right. Love mercy. That means practice being merciful and walk humbly with your God. And Micah in chapter 7 goes on to say this. He tells us there is no other God like our merciful God who chooses to forgive us and save us. Micah 7, verse 18. Listen to what it says. Where is another God like you? Who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people? Now, if you remember the history of Israel, they've gone some ups and downs. God got them out of the land of Egypt. They follow him, and then they just, I don't know, they just kind of act like they forgot who God is. You know, they forgot what God did, and they're just doing their own thing. Kind of reminds me of people today, Sister Judy. But, you know, like, we act like God has never saved us. He never healed us. He didn't give us the stuff that we had. He didn't help open that door so that we could get a job. Like, all the good things that he's done, we just get amnesia. We just wake up and we act like, oh, I'm totally brand new, and who is this God? I'm just going to go live my life. Like, stop doing that, people. Stop doing that. God, in his mercy, forgives us. He forgives our sin. He forgives us when we forget about who he is. He forgives us. Because, Sister Carolyn, sometimes we just take him for granted. But he's so good. And this is why we need his mercy. You cannot know God without knowing that he is a merciful God. Because if it wasn't for his mercy, we literally would not be in this place, in this day, right in this instance, without his mercy. Bless his holy name. Because verse 18 doesn't just end with overlooking the sins of his special people. He says, this is about God. You will not stay angry with your people forever, because you delight in showing unfailing love. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Unfailing, never-ending, doesn't give up. And the mercy doesn't give up either. And that's why God doesn't stay angry at us, although he has every right to be angry with us. Psalm 145 verse 8 teaches us a quality of God's mercy. Again, it's that patience. So God's mercy is not only everlasting and unending and unfailing, limitless as he is, his mercy is also patient. Ooh, praise Jesus for patience. It says this, Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. There goes that unfailing love again. Because mercy and love work together. They're like twins. They work together. Slow to get angry. That's the patience that God has for us. And I would argue we should then turn around and be patient with the other human beings in our lives. I know it's hard, Josh, sometimes. It's just hard sometimes because you've repeated yourself over and again. But look what the scripture says about God. Slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. And remember, while we are on this journey of rediscovering who God is, it's not just who he is, but who we are in relationship to God. And this is why it's important to understand if he's a merciful God, if he's extending the mercy to others, if he's extending unfailing love to others, then guess what? If we name the name of God, if we name the name of Christ, we're supposed to do the very same thing, Sister Linda. That's what he's expecting. Show up for the human beings around you because they don't know God. Some do, but there's a whole lot who do not. And how are they going to know who God is unless we share God? That's our job. Extend mercy and be kind to those people who actually don't deserve kindness. Love them. The prophet Joel testifies to God's mercy and patience. In chapter 2, if you read Joel, that's another short one, but also good. Joel says this in chapter 2, verse 13. It's a call to repentance. He says, return to the Lord your God. Why? For he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and here goes that magical phrase, filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not punish. Do you see that? Do you hear those words? Before doing this study, I didn't really think about God's mercifulness, how the impact of his mercy. But it's there, right there in Scripture. How we can know that you can be forgiven no matter what. And I think sometimes we forget that. Because we're walking with God, we forget that he forgives us. No matter what. Why? Because he's merciful. He is patient. He is loving. That's his plan, is to save us. Because there's a lot of times, even as followers, that we start rating ourselves like the world does, and we think, oh, I really messed up. God's not going to forgive me for that. And it's not true at all. It is a lie from the enemy to mess with your mind, to keep you unfocused and doing your own thing rather than doing what God has called you to do. He's ordered your steps. He says, if you believe in me, I will walk with you and guide you. You know, before service, it was a beautiful thing. Sister Debbie, I was visiting with Sister Debbie, and she told me about the Chronicles of Narnia. It's a series written by a Christian man decades ago, because we actually read those books in school. And I remember reading the first one, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, but not necessarily all the others. And so Debbie was saying, yes, but you know, the cousin, Eustace, when he is in his experience, Sister Linda's nodding her head. Yes, I know this. He's walking on this very precarious road, but doesn't really know how precarious it is. He doesn't know how dangerous it is. And he hears God saying, just hold on to my cloak. Just follow me. I'm guiding you. And he's like, oh, I don't know about all this. And what about, and that's what we do as human beings. Well, I don't know about you, God, because you kind of move with that. At least that's me. Maybe it's not you. But that's how I experience God. I'm like, Lord, now see, you need to hurry up. And I told Sister Debbie that. Is there not a shortcut? Why are we going all the way around like this way? Well, we could have just gone straight there. Why, Lord? Why? And God is saying to Eustace in the story and to us today, trust me. I will guide you. I have a plan of salvation for you. I will use you if you let me. But see, the enemy gets in our ears sometimes, and we stop listening to that voice of God, that if we just hold on to his cloak, and we look over the edge and we go, ooh, that's a long drop. We stop, and we get fascinated by the long drop, and the enemy starts talking in our ear. Well, you know, you really don't have to go that way. I think God's just leading you on this long goose chase. Why are you doing that? And then you start saying, yeah, why am I doing that? Don't I have a parachute? Where's my parachute at? I could just jump down. Oh, wait, don't I have some long rope? And you start trying to problem solve on your own. And maybe you did have a long rope, so you start going down the side. Eustace didn't do that, by the way. But in our lives, we may depend on our handy-dandy rope, and we're going down. And then we get there, and we go, this is a dead end. This didn't lead me to where I really wanted to go. And then you might think to yourself, Sister Helen, all is lost. I should have just listened to God. He told me to hang on to his cloak, but it was dark and it was scary, and I looked down here and I thought this might be a shortcut. Now what am I going to do? God's not going to forgive me. Lies. All lies. Lies from the enemy of our soul. Don't listen to that. Because as you've seen in Scripture, God is merciful. And his mercy doesn't end. It's limitless. It's coupled with unfailing love. He will forgive you no matter what. As Joel says, come back. Return to the Lord your God. Because he is merciful. Because he is compassionate. Now, compassionate, if you look at that word, that means you have pity for someone. It's almost like having empathy for someone. It's like, you know, I've been in your shoes. I know what it's like to want to give up and things don't work out, so you want to quit. I know. I've been there. You're trying to do all this problem solving on your own. You have compassion on that person. And God says, that's me. Not only are human beings capable of having compassion, where do you think they get it from? I am the compassionate one. I model it for each of you every day. So don't think what you have done is beyond God's reach, because it is not. He is a merciful God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. So we see in these scriptures how a merciful God extends his mercy to us from generation to generation. And I love that idea, because if you sit and think about time, how many people have lived before us? How many people are living on the planet now? I have no idea what the world's population is. You can probably Google it. But just think, how many more are there to come? And God's mercy will last from generation to generation, forever and ever. And this is significant to us, because God could change his mind and flip-flop and be like, you know what? I'm tired of all this. I'm done being merciful. He could do it. But that would be going against his nature. And that's why he won't. That's why he won't change his mind. Because forever means forever. This is why we can stand firm on his word, that he will forgive us, that he will extend his mercy toward us, because God does not lie. He doesn't change like we do, flipping and flopping depending on the weather. Praise his holy, holy name. So we see God's mercy is coupled with patience. We see that it is limitless and lasts forever. But now let's turn our attention to how God's mercy is the epitome of the gospel. Now, to do this, we can just revisit our opening scripture from Ephesians. When we go back to Ephesians verses 4 and 5 of chapter 2, I'll read it again. But God is so rich in mercy, right? He's so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. This, my brothers and sisters, is the gospel. This is the good news to all of humanity, that God loved us when we didn't love him. He didn't leave us in our lost state. He showed us mercy and gave us life through his son, Jesus Christ. You cannot have salvation without having God's mercy. Paul is reminding us that it's not because we were oh so lovable and blameless, so then therefore God loved us. We somehow worked our way into God's relationship and we earned his love. We couldn't. He's saying the opposite. Paul is saying the opposite. He says, we did not deserve love. We didn't deserve forgiveness. Yet God revealed himself as merciful and saved us by his love for us. We were spiritually dead, and God's mercy moved him to revive us through Christ. And this is how we have salvation, and we'll live with God forever when that time comes. Is that not beautiful? Jesus took our place and died on our behalf. God's mercy raised Jesus from the dead and restored him to his heavenly position in glory. And through Jesus' victory, we are victorious. And, like I said before, we will be in heaven with them one day. Praise his name. That's the whole plan of God's salvation for us. Old Testament writers speak of calling on God for salvation. Why? Because he's merciful. And these passages also show us that God's plan of salvation was always there. Again, there are some people who think, oh, you only really need to read the New Testament because that's where all the action is. But that's incorrect. It's bad theology. You have to understand the Old Testament in order to understand who God is and the fulfillment of his promise. Right? You can't just start with Jesus because you're like, okay, he's a cool dude. He's nice. No. Why is Jesus significant? Because the God who created us had a plan of salvation, and it is answered in Christ Jesus. So go back to the book of Psalms. If you look at Psalm 86, it reads this in verse 5. Psalm 86. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call on you. If we want to be saved, just say so. Just call on God. because he will save you. He is good. He is ready to forgive. Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. Teach us to hope in God's salvation. Listen to this. O Israel, and of course Israel means all of us, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. That's another word for salvation. And verse 8 says, he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. What is the scripture saying? That God wants to save us. Why? Because he's merciful. And that's where the salvation lies, in his mercy. And I like this scripture because it's abundant redemption. It's not like, well, you're going to be a little bit saved. A little bit. No, it's abundant. It's overflowing. You could fill all the pews and run outside through the doors and the windows. Because it's abundant. He's not stingy. I love our God. He is not stingy. And he'll save us from all of our sins. That fancy word, iniquities. All of the blemishes. All of the things that you can think of. Because sometimes, you know, again, the enemy will get in your head and he'll just give you a flashback of all the bad things you've ever done in your life. And you're like, oh, yeah, there was that one time and then that other time. And then that, oof, I can't even believe I'm alive. I survived that one. How did I do that? Why did I do that? Ooh, Jesus, you are so good. But see, it should remind us just how good God is. Just how good God is. And not stir us from relying on God and wanting to seek his forgiveness. That's what the enemy can do when he gets in our heads. But you know, another psalm that's really good, I'm not going to read it. It's lengthy, Psalm 103. So hopefully, I encourage you to look at that this week if you can. Psalm 103, beautiful passage. It's a text about how our merciful God and how his mercy is demonstrated through the other aspects of his character. Remember, because of love, we see other sides of God. Also because of his mercy, we see the other sides of God. And when you read Psalm 103, it's just a beautiful passage and you go, oh, wow. So this is why we have these benefits. In fact, that's what the writer says. Praise God and remember his benefits. And then he talks about God's mercy and how all of these benefits that we receive are because of God's mercy, because of God's love. So read that, Psalm 103. But as we close our time together, I'd like to invite you, if you can, please stand with me. I want to read a portion of scripture, Psalm 136, and we are going to respond with the praise. It's actually a nice, a beautiful call and response passage of scripture. So, and again, I invite you to read this at home as well this week, Psalm 136. And when I give you the signal, you'll respond in unison all together, for his mercy endures forever. Okay, so let's practice it. For his mercy endures forever. Okay, here we go. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. For his mercy endures forever. To him alone does great wonders. For his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. For his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. to him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea into two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through in the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endures forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever, and gave their land as a heritage. For his mercy endures forever, a heritage to Israel, his servant. For his mercy endures forever, who remembered us in our lowly state. For his mercy endures forever, and he rescued us from our enemies. For his mercy endures forever, who gives food to all flesh. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Why? Because mercy endures forever. Amen and amen. Pray with me if you would. Holy and merciful God, we stand to give you praise for your loving kindness. Thank you for being merciful to us by forgiving us before we knew anything about you. Thank you that your mercy lasts forever and that it covers us when we don't deserve your patience or your forgiveness. I pray for those seeking to know you more. I pray for those who don't know you but are curious. Give each one understanding, God, that they may experience your mercy and your love. Amen. We'll have a song and then we'll close. Blessed be the name of our God.
Great song to close with. We're going to get all excited.
Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings, King of Kings. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings, King of Kings.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. May we go with God this week from this place, knowing that He is with us, that His mercy, His goodness, they follow us. They are surrounding us to guide us and to protect us. Go in God's grace, go in His peace, until we meet again. God bless you and God keep you.